Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. This is David Corey along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, David. How are you tonight? And good evening, everyone. Tonight we're going to discuss news of interest to veterans across the country, including activities of various groups, former President George W. Bush's military service initiative, and the latest news about action in Congress concerning the broken VA disability claims and appeals system. I will remind our listeners that the Veterans News Hour is a show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions so that you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And veterans, I want to remind you, this is your show. It's the Veterans News Hour. So please call in and tell us how you feel about what's going on. Tell us about your case. And let us see what we can do to maybe help you. Back to you, David.
Thanks. And I just want to clarify, it's 1-888-627-6008. That's our call-in number. I'd like to recognize and thank the sponsors of tonight's show, American Legion John F. Murphy, Post 303 of Bonita Springs, Florida, Mr. Charles M. Newman of Florida, and Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans and disability cases and military personnel actions. Richard, I understand you had an interesting weekend at some veteran events in North Central Florida. Can you tell us about that?
I sure did, David. And this past weekend, the Villagers for Veterans had their gala weekend, long weekend, Thursday through Sunday. And our client and my friend Matt Williams flew in from Michigan to perform at the Friday night dinner. It's an annual event for veterans, and it focuses a great deal on disabled American veterans. There were approximately 350 vets in attendance during the weekend from all over the country. On Thursday and Friday, there was a golf tournament, there was a bike race, and there was a run. More importantly, there were vets from around the country who never met each other and were joining in the camaraderie of the weekend. So I did not serve in the military, David, as you well know, but it was extremely moving. And then on Saturday, there was a gala event, dinner and dancing, and that was a lot of fun, watching everybody dancing together. We were entertained by another one of those Elvis impersonators who was kind of a laugh, but it was still fun. The band was pretty good. It was just fun to see everybody enjoying themselves and there under one roof for one purpose.
I know in prior shows we've talked about various veteran groups. What can you tell us about this group that you mentioned called Villagers for Veterans?
Villagers for Veterans, it's a 100% volunteer. It's a 501c3 organization founded for the sole purpose of helping severely wounded veterans. It is based in a community called The Villages in North Central Florida. The group helps veterans directly with much-needed funding or additional resources or by providing grants to other organizations that provide services for veterans. The goal is to help wounded veterans transition into civilian life as much support as possible. Villagers for Veterans meets a real need today, as veterans too often face difficulty in securing resources through established sources such as governmental agencies. On Friday, the organization gave away two state-of-the-art wheelchairs. It was quite moving. These wheelchairs, David, they had blinkers on them. They had headlights. I mean, they were something else. The organization was founded by Marie Bogendoff, B-O-G-D-O-N-O-F-F. And she indicated that in the past 3 years, she has raised approximately $400,000. And unlike many vet organizations who have been criticized for their flamboyant spending unrelated to helping a vet in his or her day-to-day life, Marie ensures that the spending by the organization goes to something specific that can help our vets, such as the wheelchairs. Then there were other things given away to veterans during the weekend. If anyone would like to learn more about Villagers for Veterans, you can go to their website at www.villagersforveterans.org or email Marie at marie.bogdanoff, that's marie.bogdanoff, at villagersforveterans.org. You can also call her at 352-751-7611. She is truly dedicated to our vets. Her husband is also a veteran.
That's great. And again, if anyone wants more information about that group, Villagers for Veterans, Marie's number is area code 352-751-7611, and the website is villagersforveterans.org. Rick, you mentioned Iraq War veteran Matt Williams, who I understand is a musician. Can you tell us about Matt?
Yes, Matt's a great story. Matt is a veteran of the U.S. Army who served in Iraq and was wounded in combat. He was awarded the Purple Heart during one of his missions. I first met Matt 4 years ago when he asked me to represent him and appeal the rating evaluation by the VA. At that time, Matt was receiving 50% disability compensation for PTSD, and it was clear based upon a review of the file that Matt was should have been rated higher at 100%. And it was my opinion that the VA failed in its duty to assist Matt, who did not have an attorney when he was initially rated at 50%. So David and I took Matt's case, and we were able to get Matt up to 100%. But it took 3 years of fighting for Matt. But fortunately for Matt, it was increased. But another part of Matt's story was that he was on his way to being homeless. At the time, he had some other situations not relating to the VA situation, and he said to me that he had no place to go. I was driving him, and he said, "You really don't have a place to go?" And he said, "No, I have no place to go." So I moved him into my house, and it was here that he decided to focus on a career in music. I have a piano here, and he's a self-taught piano player, and he has an incredible voice. His grandfather is a preacher, but also a very good gospel singer. So Matt obviously inherited that from his granddad. Matt in high school was a drummer in the marching band, and he still plays drums on his CDs. I bought him a guitar, and over the next 10 months, he worked hard at playing and songwriting. He learned to write music telling his story about his military service and his recovery from service and dealing with PTSD. You know, during the course of the Friday night performance, it was amazing watching all these other veterans listening so intently to Matt's stories. Matt would preempt every song with an explanation of the song and what motivated him and inspired him to write the song. And they were all taking videos of him, and it was something else. Because, you know, veterans looking at other veterans, there's a connection there that I'm sure, David, as a veteran, you understand it better than I do. Matt credits his songwriting and playing live concerts with helping him deal with PTSD. Matt is critical of the military and the VA with their attempts to help him with his PTSD and says that they just wanted to medicate him and put him in group therapy, which did not work. Now, Matt, years later, he turned 31 yesterday. Happy birthday, Matt, if you're listening. He lives in Michigan with his wife and two children. He'll play locally in the area around Michigan. But he also gets invited to play in other veterans functions. He's currently waiting to hear about a function in Biloxi, Mississippi in October, and I think he's going to be back at the Villages in October. So if anyone wants to go see Matt perform, I think he'll be there in October. If you want to hear more about Matt Williams, just go on Facebook and type in Matt Williams, singer-songwriter, and he'll pop right up. And he's always debuting some new song that he's writing, and he loves to hear from people. So, you know, David, we had a prior guest who also used his art as a way to deal with PTSD, just like Matt. So apparently it does work.
Yeah, we had Brian Wizard on about 3 weeks ago. Brian was a helicopter door gunner in the Vietnam War, and Brian has used filmmaking, books, movies, and artwork. You can check out his website at brianwizard.com. And as we've seen in Brian's case and Matt Williams' case and in other veterans that we've met and helped, music, art, are just some of the ways that some veterans have been able to use as therapy, if you will, to kind of recover from being in the military and being in combat. So, Rick, I understand in addition to seeing Matt Williams sing at this event this past weekend, you met another Iraq War veteran who's also involved in music. Who was that?
Sean Bennett, David. And yeah, he was he's a veteran of the Iraqi-Afghanistan wars. Sean was the recipient of the Silver Star for his valor when an Iran-supported raid launched an attack on U.S. headquarters in Karbala in 2007. I know it's been 10 years, but that was quite, it was heavily reported by all the newspapers. Several U.S. military died in this assault. Others were killed execution style in the street and many wounded. Sean himself was shot but was able to fight off his attackers who then fled. This attack is the subject of a lawsuit by the families of the fallen and injured U.S. military against Iran. This lawsuit is similar to the 9/11 lawsuit filed by the families of those who died. Sean has asked us to represent him, and we are very honored to be representing Sean, who don't, you know, in all my conversations with him, it's incredible how much he does for veterans.
That's another thing that many veterans will say that it's important for them to kind of give back to the community and to help other veterans. It was the teamwork, it was the camaraderie in the service that helped them in the service accomplished the mission that they were a part of, and the same thing applies when they're out of the service, and particularly those with disabilities. So, Rick, you mentioned Sean Bennett. I understand that Sean Bennett is also well known for being in former President George W. Bush's new book called Portraits of Courage. What do you know about that?
That's right. For those who haven't heard, former President George W. Bush has spent some of his post-presidential years establishing what is called the Military Service Initiative, which is a project of the George W. Bush Institute. President Bush is also an accomplished artist, and earlier this year published a book called Portraits of Courage, a Commander-in-Chief's Tribute to America's Warriors. One of the many portraits painted by President Bush is that of war hero Sean Bennett. Sean is an amazing veteran. He's always looking to help veterans, as I said earlier. In fact, at one time, he was working for Wounded Warrior. And as we all know, Wounded Warrior ran into a little bit of a glitch for some of the problems they had, and they were, spending way too much money on other activities other than spending it on veterans. When Sean heard about this, he essentially mailed in his resignation. He could not believe it. So Sean, who gets involved with a lot of veterans groups, kind of steps back a little bit. He wants to make sure that every one of these groups, even the George Bush group, he wants to make sure that the money that's being raised is going to veterans. So,
right.
And Sean and Matt are very good friends as well.
Yeah, that's important. You mentioned Wounded Warrior. I know about a year and a half ago, there was a lot of bad press about Wounded Warrior, that they were spending a very large amount of money and wasting money on kind of extravagant expenses, not directly helping veterans. But it's also my understanding, and I want to give Wounded Warriors, the credit for that, that they've turned their organization around. They fired some of the top leadership who was involved at that time, and they've turned things around. And from what I understand, Wounded Warriors raiding from Charity Watch organizations has significantly improved. So we certainly, if there's anyone from Wounded Warrior listening, they want to give us a call and chat and tell us about the great things the Wounded Warrior Project is doing, we'd certainly welcome to hear from them. There are so many organizations out there.
You know, David,
we always like to know that. Go ahead.
I get asked a lot of questions from people who want to help out veterans, and one of them is, where can I send my money to help veterans? And to be honest with you, I don't really know. You know, I know Villagers for Veterans is one of them, but I also just tell them, look, you know, if you see a veteran having dinner, and you can pretty much tell if it's a veteran. You know, they usually wear a cap that indicates they're a Vietnam veteran or Special Forces or Air Force or something. Somehow you can tell. Just go over and say, you know, thank you for your service. Really appreciate what you did. And grab the check and pay for their dinner. That goes as far as sending hundreds of dollars to some organization that money may never even get down to a veteran. So just a thought for those of you who are interested in helping out a vet, pick up the tab for dinner.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and you can certainly something that you can, it's tangible. You can see someone benefiting at the time. I'm also, though, a big fan of many of these veteran organizations, and some of them, of course, they may need more transparency and accountability because no one wants to see their hard-earned money that they're donating for any charity, including for veterans. No one wants to see that wasted. And that's why if you're checking out a particular veterans organization, talk to them. Find out where the money's going. You know, what percentage is actually directly helping veterans or veteran family members, et cetera. Find that out. And then go from there. Then make your informed decision based on that. Rick, you mentioned former President George W. Bush. He has a project called the Military Service Initiative. What can you tell us about that?
Well, basically, its goal is similar to the Villagers for Veterans, which is to help veterans make a successful transition from military life back to civilian life. You know, for those who never served or don't have family members who served and are unfamiliar with the whole process, and David, you can speak on this because you're a veteran and you served for many, many years, that transition is very difficult. And if you're suffering from a physical disability or some sort of emotional or psychological disability, it makes it even more so. So any type of help that you can render a veteran to transition into civilian life is definitely warranted. You know, veterans don't want to come here and, you know, I don't like hearing people say, well, they just want to get the compensation, they don't want to work. You know, these guys and gals want to come back and they want to be productive members of our society and earn a living. You know, it's not just about the money, it's about their own
self-work. Rick, if I could just interject, we have a caller on line 3.
Oh, great.
Doug, if you could bring that caller on, please. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
How are y'all doing?
Good evening. Hello, who is this?
This is Michael Tureen calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, thanks for calling tonight.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Go ahead, Michael. Share with us your thoughts or any questions you might have.
Okay. It's not really a question so much as a comment about what you were speaking about earlier. First of all, I served with Matt Williams. He's a great guy. Everybody look up his information. You won't be sorry you did. The biggest add-on I want to put is in regards to the helping veterans out wherever you can find a way to do it. Something as simple as the what you said, buying somebody or just saying hello to somebody and saying you appreciate their service, especially for our Vietnam veterans. I'm a Gulf War veteran, and my big thing is that we all came back home to people in the airport standing up, clapping, coming up to us, calling us heroes. And I understand that the Vietnam veterans got absolutely none of that, and I feel like they were cheated out of their what they were due. So it was always kind of a touchy spot for me. But in regards to helping people out whenever you can that are veterans, I'm working for a couple of groups. One of them is Homeless Veterans Initiative of Alabama, and then another sponsor of VetLife organization. And our big concept is, in order to decrease the 22 suicides per day, you have to get out and you have to find these veterans and you have to provide ways, because usually those suicides, when they happen, they're actually going to happen without anybody knowing or having any forewarning. So organizations that go out and actively try to get veterans and get them help, you know, something as simple as getting them a hold of you guys and getting them help through you guys can actually, you know, pull them back out and give them what they needed to get off that near-death or near-suicide list. It'll give them hope again.
I think that's,
so I just
that's
wanted to add
point.
On to that.
Michael, that's a great point, and really appreciate you calling. Something you said go ahead.
That's it. The groups like that that are out there, you know, they're not just indicative of Alabama. You know, there's great organizations like that across the country, where either you can give to them directly, or you can volunteer your services, or you can find organizations like yours, which actually goes out and for the guest tonight, actually goes out and or somebody y'all were speaking on earlier had a foundation that awarded those chairs. You know, you could find foundations like that that are reputable and donate to those that'll help out. But you know, the only way we can decrease the 22 suicide veterans a day is to actually get out there and get with these brothers in arms and sisters in arms. And some of them that are homeless, they don't have access to the information that we do. They don't have access to the stuff. I mean, you know, with people like you guys defending the veterans and speaking up for the veterans, that's all great. But for the guys that have absolutely no way to get exposed to what they're due, they are pretty much just lost out there and nowhere. And so the organizations that will get out there and try to recruit people, veterans that are homeless and everything, those are the guys that are really making a dent. Everybody's making a dent by these programs, but there's a few groups that actually go out into the streets and try to track veterans down and provide services for them, by even something as simple as getting them in touch with people like yourself or any government agencies where they know they can get help. And I think that's a pretty important part of that reduction of the 22 suicides a day.
Michael, you mentioned a couple of the organizations in your area there in Birmingham. Would you mind giving us some contact information, a website or a phone number, if people want to get involved?
Sure, that's no problem at all. I don't have it right here with me. Can I just message that to you a little bit later on, Rick?
Sure.
Or if you want to, that would be good. Just let us know, and we'll announce it, if not tonight, on our next show. One thing I'd like to add that I think was an outstanding point you made, is that, you know, there's homeless veterans out there. They're kind of off the grid. They don't have computers, and you know, your average citizen who is aware of the billions of dollars that the VA has may be wondering, how can there be homeless veterans with all this money being spent? Well, part of the answer to that question is that some veterans are not eligible for VA care, and it's because they were discharged under less other than honorable conditions, which disqualify them. And you might, you know, there are some people that have no sympathy for veterans that may have been involved in misconduct, but there's often more to the story, and that is that some of these homeless veterans are suffering from post-traumatic stress. They're suffering from traumatic brain injury, and the post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, in many cases, is associated with the misconduct. It might be substance abuse, drug abuse, what have you, that got them kicked out of the service. And then they have no eligibility to VA. But one thing that our law firm has done, there's many other groups, veteran groups, that have done the same thing, which is to fight to get entitlement to benefits and care for these veterans, whether discharging, whether getting an upgrade to their discharge, or taking other steps to make sure that they get the care they need. But, Michael, I think that's a great point that you made, that there's a lot of people out there in the organizations that get out there and actually connect with veterans. That's what's really, really important. So thank you so much.
You know, one thing, hey, David, one thing that, and I've seen Michael on Facebook, that he does really well is he's very active on Facebook, and he connects with a lot of other veterans or their families on Facebook. And that's another way that veterans can connect with each other, exchange information, find out ways to help their cases, or, you know, maybe there's recommend an attorney. I know Michael represents us to some people. And, you know, so you use all of your social media out there in contacting veterans and communicating with them. And, Michael, thank you for all the stuff that you do with helping to
You're very welcome.
Right. And Michael, you want to give us the names of those organizations again, just so that people, if they want to look them up on Facebook.
Absolutely. And then I'll actually get all that message to you a little bit later on. As a matter of fact, I'll try to send it before the cast is over, because it looks like we got a few minutes left, 30 minutes left. So as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'll put it down. But one of them is actually the Alabama or Homeless Veterans Initiative of Alabama, and it's headed up by a good friend of mine by the name of Patrick Johnson, and he's out of Alabama. But it's also working towards a national initiative, because he's got one in Mississippi, and he's got one in, I believe, Louisiana. So it's actually working towards a national organization, and he does actually have a Homeless Veterans Initiative of America. So it's pretty much heading toward a national thing. And then the other one is Sponsor a Vet Life, which is a retired colonel by the name of Michael Burroughs that heads it up. And they're pretty much just it's a place where veterans with PTSD can go to talk to other veterans once a week. It's not an officially sponsored thing by anybody, but it's basically just a group of veterans that get together. And generally we have a counselor or a social psychologist or a psychologist on there helping us out with questions and stuff. And we do all that through Skype chat. So it's a pretty nice little setup, and it takes absolutely no funding to generate the help. And that's Sponsor a Vet Life. Homeless Veterans Initiative of Alabama is ours, and it's just hopefully in the next couple of years you'll have homeless veteran initiatives all over the nation. There people can go just to get one-stop help for all their needs. Here, he's already gone out to houses and helped people that were barricaded in. The police department had him talk to them a lot because he's a veteran, and it kept them together. And it actually, the founder of the organization's, I guess you'd say his presence there, actually helped diffuse a pretty tense situation. And from there, they just find out their needs. I mean, right now it's not really a monetary organization. It's basically set up to find out what they need and use every resource available to get them in touch with those people. So it's working towards being a pretty self-sustaining organization itself. And there's plenty more around the nation for people that can get involved if they want to. And I'm just going to tell you that soldiers helping soldiers, veterans helping veterans, that's where the bulk of the help is going to come from, because some of these people don't trust the VAs.
Right.
Some of these people don't really trust a lot, and they really trust their brothers and sisters in arms.
Right, exactly. That's so important. And on prior shows, we've had other veteran groups, and one in North Central Florida is actually called Vets Helping Vets of Marion County, Florida. And there's other similar groups, and that's really what it's all about, veterans getting involved. And it can be a way that is therapeutic for them, in a sense. But even if they don't need it for that sense, the fact they're helping their brothers and sisters in arms, as you say, is a great, great service. So, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm going to go ahead and dig that information up and get it to you, Mr. Hurley, and we'll hopefully I'll get it there by the time the show's or before it's up, so you can put that information out there. And I do appreciate you allowing me this time.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Michael.
All right. You're welcome.
Stay well.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
You too, sir. All right.
Thank you. Well, Rick, one thing that you know, we were talking about the George W. Bush Military Service Initiative, and I know one of the things from the research his organization has done is that they did some polling and they found that, you know, in the all volunteer military era that we live in, the post 9/11 era, we've had the all volunteer force since the 70s, obviously, but there's a big civilian military disconnect. And they did some polling. 71% of Americans said they have little understanding of the issues facing post 9/11 veterans, and 84% of veterans say that the public has little awareness of the issues that are facing them and their families. So things that you know, that Michael just said really strikes home. It's very true. So Rick, what can you tell us more about the Bush Center and President Bush's Military Service Initiative?
Well, David, there are three components. There's the employment transition, wellness, and the collective impact. With regards to the employment transition, the Bush Institute partnered with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, federal agencies, private business, and nonprofits to develop the Veteran Employment Transition Roadmap. This guide for veterans seeks to help transition and succeed in the civilian workforce. In addressing the wellness, in an effort to get more warriors into quality treatment for the invisible wounds of war, the Bush Institute's Warrior Wellness Alliance connects best-in-class care providers with veteran peer-to-peer networks. And finally, as far as having a collective impact, the Military Service Initiative recognizes that Americans hold a strong desire to help veterans, but often don't know the best way to do so. Out of more than 2 million nonprofit organizations in the U.S., 45,000 serve military personnel and their families. President Bush's Military Service Initiative aims to empower these nonprofits and their funders to develop more effective services and impact outcomes for veterans. David, I should add that Sean was telling me that tonight, actually, in Dallas, President Bush is having his annual dinner associated with the weekend of events that he has there for his initiative. And tonight is when President Bush gets many of the veterans from his book, including Sean. Sean's there. And they are there to talk to President Bush's donors, the people that help fund the president. Bush's Military Service Initiative, and they're there to listen to the veteran stories and see exactly what they've been through, and to see, you know, what could they do, what kind of impact can they have to help not just these men and women that President Bush has earmarked, but across the country. And these donors do come in from all over the country. So, you know, although I regret that we even had to go to war during President Bush's, after the 9/11. We all have our own personal opinions about that. It's clear that since President Bush has been out of office, he's done a heck of a job in helping our veterans.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I agree with you. It's UNIC and those that work in veteran groups see on a daily basis the impact that war has on people, on their lives, on the veterans' lives, on their families' lives, on communities. And those experiences themselves, I think, would make peacemakers out of most people. And hopefully that's another lesson that we will continue, hopefully, that we need to draw from this. Sometimes, obviously, war is necessary, and we've got to have military to make sure that we win, but we also see the individual impact. And we're talking about young men and women that are typically between the ages of 18 and their early 20s. Many of them then return from war guard psychologically or physically, and it's important that the people understand that. And I think one thing on President Bush's website that is really important is that people recognize that there is a kind of a big divide in the country because of the volunteer force. That, you know, it's, as President Bush has said, it's a matter of 1% of the country, basically, that's putting on the uniform and serving in the military to protect the other 99%. And I think it's important to recognize the sacrifice that, that other people are doing. Now, Rick, I think just in the interest of time, we probably need to move on to the other topic, major topic that we have tonight, because it is so important. Again, before moving on, we want to discuss what's going on in Congress right now, but I want to remind listeners that our call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. Rick, back over to you.
Okay, let's move on to, as you said, our next segment tonight to discuss an extremely important issue we raised on prior shows, and which will be leading up to our show next week, which is the reform of the terribly broken VA claims and appeal system. As many of you know, on May 2nd, 2017, Congressman Mike Bost, Republican from Illinois, and Congresswoman Elizabeth Estey, Democrat from Connecticut, introduced bipartisan legislation to dramatically change the claims and appeals process at the Department of Veteran Affairs. It is called the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017. The House bill is H.R. 2288. The Senate's counterpart is S. 1024. In a very important development this week, the House Veterans Affairs Committee passed the bill, and as of this past Friday, the bill was placed on the full House calendar for a vote. From what we can determine, the vote in the House of Representatives may be as soon as tomorrow. It's tomorrow, Tuesday, May 23rd. So we urge you veterans to call and email your representatives and your two U.S. senators. If the House passes it, the bill may also see a vote very soon in the U.S. Senate. So there is no time to waste to contact your representative and your two senators. David, what should we make of this proposed legislation?
Well, first of all, this is terrifically important for veterans, current generation, and also thinking ahead to future generations of veterans who may have disabilities and who file claims for disability compensation from the VA. The reason it's so important is that it's sometimes decades between congressional action of this magnitude. The Congress is about ready to pass major legislation which is dramatically changing the appeals process. They're doing it allegedly to deal with the horrible wait time where it can take 4, 5, 6 years just to finish the first tier of an appeal, which is absurd, and there's a huge backlog. But personally, as I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes, I think this legislation is terribly flawed. You mentioned before encouraging our listeners, contact your representative in the U.S. House of Representatives. If you don't know who that is, go to the website house.gov. That's house.gov. And find out who your two U.S. senators are. It's just as simple. Go to senate.gov. That's senate.gov. And from that website, you can find their individual website, find out their emails. You can send them an email usually through the website. You can find phone numbers for their Washington, D.C. office or for their district offices, and contact them. I spent part of my morning this morning just doing the same thing, sending messages to members of Congress. And my personal view is that they ought to vote against this legislation. As Rick said, in the House it's H.R. 2288, and in the Senate it's S. 1024. Those are the numbers. And some of the largest veteran groups, like the American Legion, the VFW, and the Disabled American Veterans, they support the legislation. They may have some qualifications and concerns about it, but overall they've given their approval. But I think the biggest driver of this train is the VA itself, which itself is a red flag. I think it's very important to examine the concerns of veterans who have opposed this legislation, particularly since so much is at stake. And one group that opposes the legislation is Vietnam Veterans of America, the VVA. And I want to quickly highlight some of their concerns that they've already communicated to Congress, but I don't think Congress is paying enough attention. So I want to quote something directly because I think it's that important. And this is from the Vietnam Veterans of America written memo to Congress submitted a few weeks ago. And this is what it says, quote, "Vietnam Veterans of America is strongly opposed to the enactment of the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017 in its current form. While VVA certainly supports initiatives to fix the broken claims process, the solution should never be to replace a broken system with a new one that is equally flawed. The bill ignores the need for legal precedent in the VA claims process, limits due process protections, and compromises the non-adversarial pro-veteran claim system at the convenience of the VA. While head of the Department of Veterans Affairs, General Omar Bradley, once stated, and I quote, "We are here to solve veterans' problems, not our own," unquote. VVA believes that the proposed bill seeks to solve VA's problems to the direct detriment of veterans. In considering the merits of the bill, VVA urges Congress and stakeholders to sincerely consider if this bill will fix the fundamental problems with the current claim system. VVA believes it does not. It is widely understood that the appeals process is in need of urgent reform, and to do nothing would be unacceptable. However, VVA urges Congress to not replace the current broken system with an equally flawed plan simply because it is too daunting to redesign a plan that directly addresses the problems facing the appeals process today. In its current form, this bill is an insult to the brave men and women who sacrificed to protect the Constitution of the United States," unquote. That's the viewpoint in a nutshell of the Vietnam Veterans of America organization, and I think it's very important that that Congress listen to that, because all they're getting now is some lip service from a few veteran groups. Unfortunately, they carry a lot of weight, and they've been working with the VA over the last year or so. And what is particularly galling to me is that going back a year ago, about 14 months to, I believe it was March of 2016, when the VA leadership invited some of the major veteran groups, which it considered stakeholders, if you will, to participate in some discussions about how to reform the process. Well, one of the groups, one of the major groups, National Organization of Veteran Advocates, apparently after expressing some concern about some of these ideas, was conveniently disinvited from further participation, which really shows that the VA, as General Bradley had said, is really looking out for itself. And I really think this legislation does just that. It increases the chance of veterans having their claims denied and continue this kind of hamster wheel approach. Rick, what are your thoughts about this whole thing?
Well, you know, one of the things that, before I get back to something specific on the bill, is if our veterans or their families do reach out to their congressman tomorrow, you know, I would ask them first question, have you read this new legislation? You know, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, one of the major criticisms with the politicians was that they didn't. So many of them never even read the act before it was passed. So, you know, it'd be interesting to find out how many of these politicians are actually going to read this legislation.
You know, and the bill itself, the House bill, is not terribly long. It's 60 pages, double spaced, and yes, it's written in a certain amount of legalese, but the point is, if you need help in understanding it, groups like the Vietnam Veterans of America are certainly there to help decipher it. And next week, we're planning to have on our show Mr. John Wells, a retired Navy officer and a lawyer who represents veterans and who is the executive director of the Military Veterans Advocacy Incorporated, a nonprofit group that advocates for veterans, on our show to discuss this issue, as well as other issues of concern to veterans and his organization. But as we mentioned earlier, there could be a vote of the House of Representatives sometime this week, perhaps as soon as tomorrow.
It could be as soon as tomorrow,
and also it's very likely there's going to be fast action on the Senate side. So it's important to contact your two U.S. senators.
Yeah, David. One of the concerns I have about this is it's kind of what the VBA said about passing, you know, just anything for the sake of these politicians being able to return home and say, well, look what we did for you veterans. We passed this this great legislation called the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017. You know,
right.
They're going to take that and try to run with it and fly with it and hope they get reelected in 2018 and be able to say, well, we didn't go up there and do nothing for you. Well, the bottom line is they may have set back the veteran, you know, because the bill fails to address the lack of precedent in the VA claims process, and it decreases decision finality to all levels of the appeal.
It also fails to address the understaffing problem, which is really at the heart of the problem. And what, you know, Congress may very well pass this law, and it may go to President Trump, who may sign it, but it's really not fixing the problem. Right now we have between 450,000 and 500,000 disability claims that are at one of the appeal stages, and the typical wait time can be 2 or 3 years for a decision review officer decision, which is the first step, and then another 3 or 4 or 5 years after that for the Board of Veterans Appeals. And this law, even if it's passed by the wording in the law itself, it will not go in effect for at least a year and a half after it's enacted, and the VA is likely going to try to test out the new systems, which is in itself isn't a bad idea. But this law is not going to bring any immediate or short term or really even long term fix to the system. And you don't have to take my word for it. Take the word of the Vietnam Veterans of America, which is an advocacy group that is really looking out for veterans, not just Vietnam veterans, but all veterans. But you know, this new system is basically creating new steps, new process to be followed. It also eliminates the VA's quote duty to assist after the initial decision. It does nothing to really address how they're going to deal with the current backlog. It's what they call legacy appeals that are already in existence and that where veterans have been waiting 3, 4, 5 years, and with this legislation, who knows? That problem's not going to be fixed. So there's a lot of flaws in what the law does, but also in what it fails to do. So we encourage our listeners, pay attention. If you're a member of a veterans group, get the word out to your organizations quickly. It's important. And again, The bill numbers are in the House of Representatives. It's H.R. 2288, and on the Senate side, it's S. 1024 on the Senate side, and it's called the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017. I think it's a huge mistake, and time is running out to try to put a stop to it, if that's even going to be possible. Unfortunately.
Sounds like a fancy name for something that might be achieving nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the appearance. It looks so Congress can go back and say, well, we've done something. We massively reformed the system, but it's all smoke and mirrors. It's not going to. And sadly, some of the veteran groups, major veteran groups, have kind of signed up to it. Why? I really, it's very hard to understand. There are other veterans groups, like the Vietnam Veterans Group, like Military Veterans Advocacy Group, and some other groups, but to a lesser extent, have expressed opposition to at least parts of the group to the bills. But I think it's important that they trash the entire thing and start over. because once they do this, you know they're not going to be reforming anything for another decade or two decades. They're going to have to see how this thing works. And meanwhile, as far as human life, the effects on people, it basically means they're waiting years and years. And these are people that are disabled, typically often unable to work, and they need this compensation just to survive. So that's the human element. We talked earlier about homeless people. This is something that people need, is disability compensation. So,
and you know, David, there's going to be a certain test period for all that. And as you and I said before, in our opinion, the surefire way of addressing the issues at the VA is to just hire more personnel.
That's certainly necessary, they're
proposing a $4.4 billion budget for the VA, and which would be a 6% increase over last year, and would be the third highest budget of all of the departments. So you would think that with all that money that's going there, they could hire some more BVA judges and more decision review officers around the country.
Well, the other thing is, too, is the VA needs to start cutting some of the fraud, waste, and abuse within their own system. They need to look at that more carefully.
Get rid of the deadwood? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of it. But, you know, we've talked in prior weeks about some of the wasteful spending in the VA construction area. You know, we gave the example of the one out in Colorado, the medical center that's vastly over budget, have all sorts of problems. They were spending so much money on just the visual appearance of the building that it was to the detriment of medical standards and a lot of other things that we can talk about. But in any event, it looks like we're getting close to the end of our show tonight.
David, before we go, Michael sent me that information, so let me quickly pass it along to our listeners. He referred to the Homeless Veterans Initiative of Alabama. Facebook is www.theinitiative.vet/the founder. The founder is Patrick Michael Johnson. You can call him at 205-300-8406. There's also Sponsor of Vet Life, friends, S-A-V-L, close friends. You can find them on Facebook page as well. The website's www.sponsoravet.life/, and Mike Burrows is the head of that. Again, that's www.sponsoravet.life/. And finally, Rally Point Networks, which is located at 23 Main Street, Suite 301, Watertown, Massachusetts, 02472. Get their app, a must-have for veterans. This site is essentially a Facebook for veterans, but only has veterans discussing topics in a stress-free environment. It also helps fight PTSD and suicide by offering a vast network of veterans who can identify with and help those who need help obtained help. Again, Michael, if you're listening, thank you very much for this information. It's very helpful to our veterans.
Yeah, that's great. And it's about time for us to wrap up, so we just want to make our weekly reminder that the VA has an excellent program to help veterans make the transition from military to civilian life. It's called Coaching into Care, and the audience for that program is as much family members who are trying to help their veteran get into some rehabilitation. And the Coaching into Care number is toll-free 1-888-823-7458. That's Coaching into Care, 1-888-823-7458. And it's about time for us to go. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to our show tonight on BBS Radio. We'd like to thank our show sponsors, including the American Legion's John F. Murphy Post 303 of Bonita Springs, Florida. We'd like to thank Mr. Charles M. Newman of Florida and Corey and Hurley Law Group. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, and invite listeners to become show guests on our future shows. Contact us. Contact information is on our show's website, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. You can also find archived podcasts of our prior shows. So we'll be back next evening, next Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific Time, bbsradio.com, Station 1. And that's our show for tonight, folks. Please tune in next week for another great show.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.